Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Thank God today for his precious, infallible word. We ought to be thankful that we have the Bible today. I was just reading during the past week of believers in North Korea, 80 believers executed for owning Bibles. 80 Christians put to death just because they had a Bible. There are believers today who are paying a great price in order to have a copy of the Word of God. And dare we not appreciate the Bible? Oh, thank God we have it today, and we're not under threat of execution for owning the Bible today. But who knows, maybe that day will come. But let us appreciate and value the Word of God while we have it. We're going to think this morning about what's known as C.H. Spurgeon's text. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was known as the Prince of Preachers. He preached in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, sometimes to 5,000-6,000 people. And he certainly was used by the Lord. He was a great blessing. And I would encourage you, if you've never read any of Spurgeon's material, get yourself some of his books, some of his material. I love to use his morning and evening devotional book. It's a wonderful book. Takes a little verse from the Bible in the morning and a verse from the Bible in the evening, and he expounds it, he explains it. And I have found it to be of great blessing. But Spurgeon was converted in a church where there were about 12 or 15 people. Now, I said that he, at the height of his ministry, he preached to 5,000, 6,000 people. But it all started very differently. The morning he was converted, by the way, it was a Sunday morning. And that morning he was converted, January the 6th, 1850, in the city of Colchester. There were only about 12 or 15 people in that little Methodist church. So if you get discouraged sometimes with numbers and the lack of interest that people have today and loved ones who won't come to the church, don't be discouraged, because there was the great C.H. Spurgeon, and the Lord saved him in a church where there was just a handful of people, you might say. The Lord is able to do great things even in small gatherings. But you should remember, of course, that for every believer in church, there's an angel beside them. Because the Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So for every Christian here today in the service, there's an angel beside you. So that swells the congregation. And I suppose I should say this morning, welcome to the angels. We've welcomed you, and we should welcome the angels too. But there he was, a young boy, 15 years old. He left home that January morning. He was intending to go to his normal place of worship, but because of a snowstorm, he had to turn down a little side street, and he went into a little primitive Methodist church. And that morning, C.H. Spurgeon was saved. Only 15. And he went to church himself. That's a lesson for us today in itself. The importance of going to church, no matter who else goes. Even if the rest of our family, even if others fail to go to church, we should be in church. Spurgeon went alone, that young boy, that Sunday morning to the house of God. And the Lord reached him and saved him. And he was saved through Isaiah 45, verse 22, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." And you know, as I thought about that incident during the past week, and of course there was the snow here, I thought, well, wouldn't it be good for us today, as we've been having the snow, and there's probably more on the way, it'd be good for us this morning to think about that snowy January morning whenever the Prince of Preachers was saved. But we need to ask the Lord to help us now, so will you bow with me, please, in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this servant of yours, Spurgeon. Lord, we've been blessed through his material and through reading, Lord, the writings of this great Prince of Preachers. And we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing he has been to the Church of Christ. And yet, Lord, we remember that he was only a man. For the best of men are men at best. And Lord, we recognize that he was a sinner. But we thank you that you saved him. And Lord, help us and bless us now this morning as we think about that wonderful text of Scripture that the Spirit of God used to bring Charles Haddon Spurgeon to the Savior. Bless us now, we pray. In Christ's name, we'd ask it. Amen. The man who preached that Sunday morning to Charles Spurgeon was a man who could hardly put a sentence together. He was one of the elders because the minister wasn't able to make it through the snow that Sunday morning. And so one of the elders eventually had to go up into the pulpit. And he was a shy man, and he was a man who stammered and stuttered, and he found it difficult. He obviously wasn't used to preaching. But he stammered out this verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else." And he stammered and stuttered for about 10 minutes, and he came to the end of his tether, and that was all that he could say. And you're all saying today, "I wish every preacher would preach for 10 minutes. But there he was, that poor man, that uneducated man. But the sovereign God of heaven had ordained it, that he would be the instrument that would be used to bring the Prince of Preachers to Christ. And then just at the end of his message, before he sat down, the man looked down at Spurgeon in the pew and he said, "Young man, you look very miserable. And you will always be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death, if you do not obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. Young man, look to Jesus Christ." And Spurgeon, as he sat under the gallery in that little church that day with just a smattering of people there, he did look to Christ and he was gloriously saved. I want us today to consider the text that was used by the Lord to bring Spurgeon to Christ. It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. It's so simple. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." This verse tells me, first of all, that the door of salvation is still open. The door of salvation is still open. You see, there's a little children's chorus, "One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?" Let me ask you that question today. What side of the door are you on? Because Jesus Christ is the door. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Muhammad's not the door. I know that we've heard in the news nonstop over the last couple of weeks all this talk about the prophet Muhammad. I want to say today that yes, he is a prophet. Amen. Muhammad is a prophet, but he's a false prophet. Let me just make it clear. Oh, he is a prophet, but he's a false prophet. And the Lord Jesus spoke about that in Matthew chapter 24. He said to beware of false prophets. In Matthew 7:7, the Sermon on the Mount, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Yes, Muhammad is a false prophet. Don't look to the prophet of Islam, because if you do, you'll be damned. Look to Jesus Christ, the true prophet. The Bible tells us, Moses said in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord your God shall raise up unto you a prophet like unto me of your brethren. You know how the Muslims say that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, he's the final prophet, he's the greatest prophet. Well, he can't be, because the great prophet, the Messiah, the Savior, was to be a Jew. Moses said it would be from your among your brethren, he would be a Jew. Therefore, Muhammad cannot be that prophet. Oh, don't look to Muhammad, he's not the door. Christ is the door of salvation. But which side of the door are you on? Are you on the outside or the inside? I'm on the inside. I'm glad that God, by his grace, reached me and saved me and brought me in to the ark of salvation. I was just reading the other day the story of Noah and the ark and how Noah sent the dove out. But the dove came back again. She couldn't find anywhere to settle, anywhere to rest. And you know, there's a lovely little phrase that says that Noah put out his hand and pulled the dove in. And I want to say today that the day that the Lord Jesus saved me, it was just like someone putting out their hand and pulling a poor sinner into a place of safety. You see, salvation is of the Lord. And by his grace, he reached out to a filthy down and out sinner like this preacher and pulled him into the ark. And today he stands before you, saved by grace alone. Thank God today the door of salvation is still open, because the Savior says, look unto me and be ye saved. If you look to me and look only to me, you'll be saved. Now notice that the Lord doesn't say here, look at me. Think about that for a moment. That's not what the verse says. Some people assume that's what it says, but it doesn't say, look at me. It says, look unto me. You see, there's a difference between looking at somebody and looking to somebody. If you're looking at somebody, obviously that's exactly what you're doing. I'm looking at you now. I'm looking at you. But it's a different thing to look to someone. What it means when you say that you're looking to someone is that you're depending upon them. You're trusting them. You're relying upon them. I suppose to use an everyday illustration, you could talk about politics. And for example, the election is on the horizon. And I suppose there are people who are saying, well, we're looking to David Cameron to get us re-elected again. Or we're looking to Nigel Farage to get the UKIP elected. We're looking to these men. If you're interested in sport, of course, we could use the sporting analogy. We could talk about maybe a football team, a cricket team, a rugby team, whatever sport it is. And perhaps that team is looking to one player in the team. Oh, we're looking to him to bring the title to our club. Or we're looking to this manager, and the fans are depending on this manager to bring the silverware to their team. Looking to them. In other words, depending on them. That's what it is in salvation. That's what salvation means. And that's what it means to look to Christ. It means to depend on Him, to trust Him. It's really saying, look to Jesus by faith. Not with your physical eyes. Look to Him with the eyes of your soul, the eye of faith. Oh, thank God today the door of salvation is still open. The day of salvation is still present. The day of salvation is still present. The Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Thank God as we worship today in this church, souls can still be saved because the day of salvation has not ended. And we're still, as we talk about, in the day of grace. Now think about that for a moment, those of you in the service who are not right with God. Think about it. That clock on the back wall, it's ticking. Every second is ticking. The clock is ticking and the seconds are going by. The moments are going by. The hours are going by. But you're still in the day of salvation right now, this moment. But who knows whether we'll reach 12:30? Who knows whether the service will finish or not? None of us know whether we'll even see the end of the service. I don't even know whether I'll finish preaching this message today. None of us are guaranteed our next breath. But for this breath and for this heartbeat, we're still in the day of salvation. Tell me, does it mean anything to you today? Are you saying in your heart, that's wonderful because I want to be saved. I want to be a Christian. I thought there was no hope for me, but just to think that we're still in the day of salvation and that I can really be saved, my, this is really too good to be true. I'm going to have to pinch myself to really believe that it's true, that I'm still in the land of the living and that I can still come to know Christ and go out of the church rejoicing today instead of going out with a long face and worrying and afraid of the future. Thank God you're still in the day of salvation, sinner, backslider today. You're still in the day of grace. But you know, the one thing that I can't do from this pulpit today is guarantee you tomorrow. I cannot guarantee that any one of us will see tomorrow. What about that man in Lisburn on Thursday, on whom the tree fell in that van? Whenever he got up on Thursday morning, I'm sure he didn't imagine that there was that was his last day. But it was. And he drove out in his van, and because of the storms and the wind, the tree came down on top of his van, and that was his last day. That was the day of his death. What a tragedy. Tomorrow isn't guaranteed to any one of us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Why, oh why, would you take the risk of losing your immortal soul? Can you answer me that question today? Why? What's it all for? But you're still in the day of grace. The day of salvation is still present. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, my, that's a wonderful phrase. You see, if you look at a map of the world today, guess what country is right slap bang in the middle? In the very center, guess what country? Little Israel. Israel's in the center of the map. And you see, it's just as if Isaiah here, and it's just as if the Lord is saying here that he knows that Israel's in the center of the map, and he's saying that salvation is available for the people at the ends of the earth. In other words, the people at the very outside of the map, and praise God, everybody else in between. Even us in little Northern Ireland, as the Belfast people, when we were in Ballysillan, they used to talk about that Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland, Southern Ireland, England, Scotland, Wales, every country on the map. Thank God we can look to Christ. Individuals in these nations, sinners, can look to Christ and be saved, because it's for all the ends of the earth. The message of salvation is a worldwide message. That's why, thank God, today you've got missionary organizations that are going forth to the ends of the earth with the message of salvation. You see, the day of salvation is still present. The door of salvation is still open. Let me finish today with one final thought. Thank God the desire of salvation is still granted. The desire of salvation is still granted. You know John Wesley, he used to go around preaching. Some people say that we shouldn't hark back to the past and spend so much time on history. Well, in that case, then we better forget about the Bible, because that's 2,000 years ago. History is important. I know you have to get the balance right. You need to speak about modern things, but it is important to go back into history because it's his story. But John Wesley used to go around preaching, and he used to preach, first of all, that all men can be saved. Thank God, that was a wonderful truth for his hearers. All men can be saved. And all men, secondly, can know they're saved. My, what a thought. All men can know they're saved. You can be saved. You can know that you're saved. But the question that we need to ask today as we finish is, do you want to be saved? You need to be saved. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. But do you want to be saved? Jesus Christ is a perfect gentleman. He will not coerce anyone into his kingdom. He will not coerce anyone into his family. But he simply invites you to come to him this morning. And he says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth.